craft books, these volumes are called, chipper, cheerleaderish, generally with an encouraging second-person narrator meant to make the whole exhausting process of writing a book seem possible. You can do it. It's a reasonable stance. You'll never stand on the winner's podium if you can't get off the starting block. But I don't know if you can write a book. I don't know if I can write a book. I don't know if I can write this book, though over the past 30 years, I've published 4 novels, 3 collections of short stories, and a memoir, and have written several more unpublished books. How many? We won't speak of that yet. Everything that I have ever believed was true and immutable about my work has changed. Only certain obsessions remain. A writing life, I've come to believe, is a years-long process of casting away everything you once believed for sure. 4. I'm not sure what craft means when it comes to writing fiction. How to think about the elements of fiction, perhaps, whatever an element is. Character, plot, setting, theme, structure, time, language, dialogue. This isn't a complete list. Of these, what's essential? Some fiction has no dialogue or no defined setting, though maybe placelessness is itself a kind of setting. Language? There are word-free graphic novels that are undeniably fiction. No single element of fiction makes fiction fiction. How do you separate such things anyway? Fiction isn't human anatomy, with a circulatory system separate from the skeleton, reproductive organs intertwined but distinct from digestion. A piece of fiction isn't a human being, though it is human, or should be. It can't be all blood, or all bones, or all breath, or blood and bones and breath, but no muscle to move. All bones and no spirit, all metaphor, but no human will. It would be useful to be able to map it, as the body is mapped in an anatomy book, with acetate transparencies, so that you can lift away plot and leave character. Lift away character and study tension. Lower each and see it. The human hand. A human story. 5. When I was a child, I had a brown blanket with a café au lait binding. The blanket itself was terrible, some late 1960s synthetic material that, by the time it came to me, had developed hard warts and polyps. I can't imagine that it was ever soft or pleasant. You could have grated cheese upon it. I didn't carry it around or name or anthropomorphize it in the security blanket tradition. I didn't love it, only the way it made me feel. The binding at the top was satin, also synthetic, but silken, slippery. Material can fail to accomplish things in one form and succeed in another. This, too, is a lesson of fiction. And I took enormous pleasure in running that binding across my top lip, right under my nose, back and forth in an arc across the peaks of my philtrum. It comforted me, even when the satin fabric began to wear out and show its warp and weft. That's how I am with my first sentences, with my mind instead of my lip, words instead of a satin binding, this, in a way that would be unsettling were the gesture visible. Thank God I'm invisible when I write, body and mind entirely alone and wallowing at my desk. 6. I don't think it's a bad thing to want to write a first sentence so idiosyncratic, so indelible, so entirely your own that it makes people sit up or reach for a pen or say to a beloved, listen to this. A first line needn't be ornate or long. It needn't grab you by the lapels and give you what for. A first line is only a demand for further attention, an invitation to the rest of the book. Whisper or bellow, a polite request, or a monologue meant to repel interruption. I believe a first line should deliver some sort of pleasure by being beautiful or mysterious or funny or blunt or cryptic. Why would anyone start a novel? It was June.